Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I'm a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening. Hi everybody, Erin and Jet here.
Hello.
Hello. So we're just like discussing, like we've had so many really great conversations about everything that's happening and Black Lives Matter and all the things. And I'm like, you know, this would be a really good thing to like talk about, like to the people. Cause I think there's a lot of couples who, interracial couples, who maybe for the first time have been having these conversations with their partners, specifically couples that are Black and white or have a Black person in the couple. You know, I've been very lucky that, you know, one of the reasons why Jet and I, for me, that our relationship has evolved is because I haven't had to explain this stuff to Jet. Jet's not saying, like, you're not here. Jet, this is Jet, everybody. And he's been so great at listening, and he already was educated about a lot of race-related things, so it wasn't, like, a battle to explain. Thank goodness. I don't think we could have been in a relationship if I did have to explain in depth to him anyway. But yeah, this has definitely ratcheted up a conversation. And to be honest, I think these situations really make someone show their true colors as well. Like if they were kind of on board before, like you're dating somebody and then all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, I'm learning their real true feelings and they're not fully an ally. Like you might be realizing, some of you might be realizing that right now with someone you're dating, you know? And so that's hard. So I just wanted to, this is not very formal. I'm kind of just speaking off the top of my head right now. But, Jet, how do you feel right now? Like, just tell us what you've been feeling, I guess. Some of what you've been feeling potentially.
Yeah. Well, I think I'd like to think that I've always been anti-racist. And I know I grew up in the South. I grew up in a family that was very racist and homophobic. And being queer and being transgender does not erase my white privilege. I also grew up very poor, so I grew up around a lot of brown and black people. And even though it was, you know, racism and homophobia was surrounding me, there was something in me that knew it wasn't right, but I don't know, what makes one person follow suit and what makes somebody not? I don't know. You know, I've dated black women before when I was identified as a lesbian. And now that I am trans and a trans man dating you, there's definitely a difference because we are read as a cis straight couple when we're out in public, an interracial cis straight couple. But I do notice that the color of your skin is, that people are aware of it, you know? And I think that I sometimes am more alert. I am more aware, even than I was before in a queer female same-sex partnership. I think that the danger is a little more heightened. It should never be a contest of who's more at risk. Mm-hmm. But sadly, in our country, it is. And it really makes me even look at myself and my privilege more. I feel like sometimes I'm a lot more quiet when we're in certain situations to try to take it in, see what you need as support, hold space for you, because I don't always know what the right thing to do is, and I haven't had role models to try to show me what that is, whether as being a strong man or being a strong ally. Mm-hmm. Outside of my queer community, I have a lot of wonderful queer folk in my life that have guided me, but sorry, but a lot of the cis hetero folks just haven't. A lot of the white cis hetero
haven't
folks.
What?
Been mentors and guides in navigating some of this.
Yeah, it's been, you said so many great things there. I too have felt more combativeness and resistance from my cis hetero friends, from my white cis hetero friends. And that's been really upsetting because some of those people have been in my life for 30 whatever years, right? So, but I mean, you know, what I was saying earlier, which is why Jet is so great, and I felt very, I just felt like I could kind of tell them anything that I've been going, that's been going on in my head around, you know, the protesting or people not caring or people just posting something and feeling like they've done their part and they're done. And it's like, you know, Jet is a really good example of somebody who, like, it has genuine outrage about what's happening. And it's like, at this point, as Black people, like what I was saying earlier today to Jet was like, this fight is about literally my existence. So I've spent so much time in the last week, especially trying to convince people, like literally trying to convince people that my existence should matter more. And it's like, why am I spending my time? If these are friends, right? If these are friends in my life, why am I trying so hard to use my energy to convince them why they should care if they're my friends? Like, it's just ridiculous. So I guess this is, there's an airplane. But, you know, I guess it's you know, what he, everything he just said there, like the fact that he says that, you know, that he was just saying, because we just had a thing happen a couple days ago. I won't get too deep into that now, but it was a scenario where I know he was watching, but he kind of just held space and let me handle it because it was with a Black person. And
who was a bit aggressive towards you.
Right, right. And, you know, it was weird. And there were other Black people around. And then later on, another Black woman there was like, yeah, I had a weird interaction with that person too. But in those scenarios, Jet is really good about kind of like observing and figuring out what he's got good skills in terms of assessing a situation. He doesn't just jump in.
I mean, I'm still learning though.
True.
You know, and I'm still figuring it out. Because it's layered. But I think what you were just talking about is this notion of having to justify your existence.
Yeah.
Nobody should have to justify their existence. And I think for myself, for the 30 plus years of protesting and marching and activism around queer rights, I think I got to a point where I'm just tired. And if I have to justify my existence to you, you're a horrible human being. I don't need to waste my time on that, because clearly your mind isn't going to be changed. So how can I put that energy elsewhere?
Right.
And not everybody feels that way, and that's okay. We all have our part to play, and we all have, you know, our roles to play. Yeah, it's, I tell you this a lot, like, ultimately I feel like the people in our orbit that we choose to interact with, I think, are doing their best. They're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. We're all going to mess up to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can be open and learn and try to move forward, but
listen to the people who this fight is about. You know, when the fight is about LGBTQIA rights, listen to the people in that group. This is a Black Lives Matter fight. Listen to the Black people. Like, it's just really important that you listen to those people. If you do truly care about those people, why wouldn't you listen to them? And if any of you out there are listening to this and you have been in the camp of, you know, of All Lives Matter, or why are people protesting, or the looting's more important, or all these things, again, and if you do know me, like, even if you don't know me personally, okay, let's say that you follow me, you followed me for a while as a dating coach and everything, you know, I would like to believe that even that small connection could make you, you might think a little bit about whatever has been ingrained, because to Jet's point, you know, we all grow up in different family situations, and we are different friends, or we're socialized differently, or we grow up in different parts of the country, or different parts of the world, where we learn, you know, to treat people differently, potentially, and so it's really important to look inward. Like, here comes another plane, sorry. It doesn't mean, like, I think it takes some humility, right? It takes some humility to look inward in these times. It really does. And, you know, I've had to do it in different ways. I've had to do it with this. I mean, Jet and I were just saying, I was like, you know, there's so many things I haven't really had to think about in my life because I've grown up with some level of privilege, right? Like, my parents are college educated and I grew up in the suburbs and all these things. This fight right now is very fundamental. None of that matters. If I'm in the street in a certain neighborhood at a certain time and someone perceives me as a threat, that could end my life, essentially, at this point. That's what this fight's about, safety and perception of, well, and the system not protecting everybody equally. So I've had to think about it. It's like I grew up growing up in a white, all-white town, essentially, in small-town Ohio. I've been aware that I was the only black person, but I've never really felt like there was an actual, like, civil rights fight in my lifetime. My parents have felt it. My grandparents have felt it. So, yeah, it's, even for me, it's been this thing of, like, wow, this fight is literally talking about me right now. So it's been a little overwhelming in that way. I want to say it in that sense. I'm saying that to say that even for me, there's been a shift of the way I've been thinking. I've had to shift my brain to wrap my head around, wow, this is about you in a way. Like, this is about you, Aaron, and your family and your friends and people, other black people. And so I'm saying all that to say that we all are trying to, it takes a shift in thinking right now for all of us, for whatever race we are. There's a shift that needs to happen, and it's happening for us too as black people.
No, the system needs to get burnt down and start over.
Burn it down. But I mean, but yeah, Jet, you're not wrong. Like, I do feel like there's some fundamental things that have been in place for a long time, decades, possibly hundreds of years, and for real change to happen, I think there needs to be an overhaul in a lot of ways, right? It's like, I mean, there just needs to be, if we can't, if people have been talking about this thing, especially in policing specifically, for, you know, decades and decades, and nothing has changed, then what is the problem? Something needs to be corrected and possibly thrown out and rebuilt. I mean, I don't know what other solution there should be at this point.
I'm hopeful.
I'm to be honest, I'm, what do we say, cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, cautious optimism. That's mm-hmm. the thing. But we got to get this orange pile of shit out of the house. I mean, we can't have another 4 years of this. I think we all know that.
We need leadership, like real leadership, for sure. I want to bring it back to dating real quick before we end this.
Were we ever on dating?
A little bit in the beginning. We're talking about partnership and stuff. Okay. How you're a good boyfriend.
I'm trying.
And how we wouldn't even be in this scenario after a year, whatever, of relationship. Look,
but let's be real. It's not always easy, because sometimes I'm trying to figure out how best to support her and hold space for her. And also not get lost in the process as a person as well who's affected by this, and recognize that sometimes I have to step back from that concern and focus on her and focus on what's going on. So that's real too, you know.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. If there's any other thoughts you have in that realm, would be great. Because I think that there, because so how we started this, right, was to all the interracial couples or people dating black people, this could be a tricky time. And so there is some navigation potentially, right? Like, I know the perspective of receiving his love, receiving his allyship during this, during the protesting, during the upheaval and revolution that's happening. But, and he's told me a little bit about how he's been feeling around that. And I know that there's, my lens of receiving it is there's some frustration in terms of, I just want to help her. But there's been a couple of times, especially in the last week, where I've just felt totally overwhelmed. And I think that that's been overwhelming for you, maybe feeling like you don't know how to help. Although he's been very helpful in all the ways.
Yeah, but there's, you know, a couple of occasions where I'm like, you want to do this, this, this.
And I'm like, I don't know, my brain's overloaded.
Yeah, and you just don't know what to say. And then I just feel helpless because I'm trying to help. But then also it's not about me. And sometimes I just got to let you go through it. And sometimes when you care about somebody, that's sometimes the only thing you can do is let somebody go through it and be there as a place for them to land, if that makes sense.
Yes, and that's so great. And so I would say,
but it's hard. It's very hard.
None of us is easy. None
the
of
Virgo
us.
In me. It's like,
what? I got to just lay low. And, yeah. But no, I mean, to your point, it's really important. So, I mean, what can you do? People out there who are dating black people, who have, even just if you have black friends, right? It's like, just, you know, be an ally and listen to them. And
well, and I ask you sometimes, I'm mm-hmm. like, do you want me to do what, you know, what do you need? And I'll say, look, if here's all the options, but if you don't want to do any of it, I get it. Like,
yeah, there's some wiggle room, right? You present me with some options. How are you doing? What do you want to do with these things? Or nothing. Which is great. So then I have the choice, ultimately. But it's, yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I guess in closing, because this could go on forever. There's so many, we're just touching, scratching the surface here.
This
right?
was not planned, folks. We just sat down and she's like, do you want to say something? I'm like, sure.
Yeah, because I do feel like, again, we're lucky in the sense that we had already established some of this before. There had been some conversation around, like, race stuff and obviously, like, you know, orientation stuff. All these different things we've talked about before, but like, I've been in relationships in the past where none of this was talked about. You know, I dated a decent amount of white cis men and they were on board generally, but I don't think many of them would last. I don't think a lot of them would have been able to handle this and the conversations that go along with this like you have.
Well, and that's an extra layer of, I don't want to say toxic masculinity, but, you know, issues with masculinity for sure. And I think a lot of cis men being supported and how to be more empathetic and caring and mm-hmm. understanding. And we got to address that at an early age. And I didn't have that experience because I didn't come out as trans until my 40s. But this is definitely something that's talked about a lot among cis men. And I know people are aware of it, so.
Wait, what's talked about amongst cis men?
The issue around support and fragile masculinity. I think that's more the word of knowing how to support your partners and knowing how to be vulnerable mm-hmm. to be able to support your partners. I think that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I want to say real quick, to piggyback on that real quick, you know, for what we're talking about is not an orientation thing. Like, this is literally like, if you have a black partner right now, if you're straight, cis, what, all the things. This is more about that than the other. Jet, I feel like Jet has been modeling really great behavior for partners who Thank are dating a black person. Everything he's saying, if there are cis interracial couples listening, it applies. It still applies. Hopefully he's saying something that you can get from this. Obviously there's a layer there because Jet is trans, right? So there's another layer there. But everything he's saying is applicable to any interracial couple. if you're there for your partner, if you're, you know, listen to your partner, give space to your partner, like, know when to speak up and know when not to speak up. And that's a conversation that you should, I encourage you to have with your partners, of like, what, because some people want you to be there and sit, stand up and speak out, and some Black people right now just want you to just be there by the by their side and not say anything.
And sometimes you're gonna mess up, and
totally,
and just allow yourself to mess up and talk about it and recover from it,
have those conversations
and try to do better, and that works for both of us.
It's true. So I guess that's it. Again, we could go on forever. I could, at least. I have the gift of gab. Jed knows. He's around it all the time. He gets it. But yeah, just that's it for now. Hopefully this was helpful in some way. And I guess just, Jed has been so gracious in on a lot of levels to kind of, like, you know, I'm pretty open about my life in the realms of social media and stuff, but he's been, thank you for being so generous with sharing your experience to the people too. I appreciate that.
The people.
With people, with all of you. I think it's really important, and I respect the fact that you might not wanna say all this. You're outspoken too, though, let's be honest. But I do appreciate in this moment that you were like, yeah, let's do a video, or let's do a thing.
We all gotta hit this from all the different angles. It's gonna take a lot of work. That's all I know at this point.
Yeah, it's gonna take a lot of work. And just a final thought for me is just literally, if you care about these people that you're dating, married to, friends with, like, this is the fight now. Like, which side are you on? I hate to be that person because I'm never that person, but it is literally like, if you care about our safety and well-being, like, it's now time to get on board.
Double down.
Yeah, talk to your friends, talk to your family, but ultimately, more important than that, be there for your people in your life. Your Black people, be there for your Black people. That's all I have to say. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No.
All right, that's it. Bye. See you soon.
And now it's time for the Consent Corner. Tips, advice, and insights from my book, The Consent Guidebook. Chapter 7, Using Positive Reinforcement After an Encounter. In intimate scenarios, there can be situations where someone you like and possibly respect might misread and or not be tuned in to your nonverbal cues and unintentionally cross your boundaries. This is in no way meant to give boundary crossers a pass, but if someone does cross your boundaries and you would like to give them another chance, ongoing communication is crucial. In some cases, it is very possible that the person who crossed your boundaries might not even be aware that harm was done, or that you might have felt or still feel uneasy about a past encounter with them. If you are able and still want to give them another chance, it is imperative that you discuss what improvements can be made going forward. These conversations can feel uncomfortable if you've never had a conversation about boundaries with someone, especially if that someone is an intimate partner. Here are a few phrases that can be helpful when having a conversation about boundaries with someone you would like to keep interacting with. These phrases are meant to encourage positive and constructive improvements while keeping the shaming to a minimum. It would be great if you would. It makes me super excited when you. I'd really love it if you'd. I really love it when you. It makes me feel really comfortable when you. Is there anything you'd like me to do differently next time? The Consent Guidebook is available in paperback and ebook on Amazon, Google Books, iBook, and wherever ebooks are sold. For more info, go to theconsentguidebook.com.